This is something that's been in the works for some time now.
Most definitely.
We're making a collab with two absolute great creatives in the state of Mass. How are we feeling today, brother?
Well, I'm feeling very blessed and very thankful for you having me on, bro. And like you said, this has definitely been time to make the meeting of the minds, man. This is overdue, but we're here, bro. We're having a great day. It's even better now, man. Chop it up with you.
Thank you, sir. Because it's beautiful because God, the way He works, it's like you never know with this plan sometimes. I'm walking, doing some cardio. I'm seeing you at the plaza. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is insane in a perfect way, you know?
For sure. I was waiting on the you run into everybody. I was waiting for the day, but I'm not gonna run into it. And it happened at the right time.
Yeah, I think, and what's cool is that little combo that we had in the beginning of it. We realized all of the similarities that we have. We're probably going to notice more in the pod as well about how we've been working on fasting. We've been working on just our overall craft. You know what I mean? And I could see the glow that we both have
Absolutely.
because we're on the same team, you know? And I always tell people about the phrase of God's fit emoji up in the chat. You know what I mean?
I love that you said that.
He's here right now. He's in a seat right here, right in the middle.
100%.
You
Very
know?
well said, man.
You honestly are one of the people that, and I'm not just saying this because your awesome self is right in front of me. You're one of the people that I look to for my craft when it comes to the work ethic you have, when it comes to the passion you have for what you do. What was the style and journey that you've had to get onto the faith you have now?
Great question, first and foremost, bro. Thank you for saying that. But again, not just because you're sitting in front of me, I genuinely appreciate that. That really touches my soul. And anytime your name comes up in conversation with people, with you, my girlfriend or whatever who knows you as well from way back, it's always nothing but positivity. It's always nothing but love. Like, I try to uplift your name in every space that I bring it into. And you really, I feel like you encapsulate what it means to bring light into dark spaces. I've never seen you do anything other than, like you said, have that glow and just bring that positivity. So thank you for that first and foremost. But to answer your question, man, people who have been following my music journey for a long time, have just been following that creative soul. They know that I've been making music since fourth grade. Like 5 years removed from high school now. Graduated in 2020. So that's going on like 13 years of me pursuing music and pursuing a creative path. And in the beginning, for a lot of years, I didn't know exactly how I wanted it to look, but I just knew that I wanted people to hear what I had to say.
The message.
The message. The message wasn't fully formed at that point when I was just a young kid in fourth grade laughing, vanilla ice lyrics and Eminem lyrics at the lunch table. But I knew that I wanted people to hear what I said, and I knew I wanted my influence to touch people. Because I believe influence is really the key, and if you need to choose to use your influence properly, you can misuse your influence. And that's very much the case with, you see it across the board in mainstream music, but even in the local music scene. There are a lot of people who have an influence, and it doesn't matter if you have an influence over one person, two people, 100 people, or you get to the big stages, millions of people. You have a choice every single day, with every word that you say, with every piece of art, wisdom that you drop, that you're using, you're either misusing or you're properly using that influence. So I always wanted to properly use my influence and to kind of speed up that portion. I think that for a lot of years, I did have a deep air of selfishness to myself. In reality, my focus was I knew I wanted to influence people, but I wanted people to look at me in a certain cool way. I'm making this rap music. I'm doing these performances or whatever. You're young, you want the money, you want the glorification, you want the girls that come along with it, all those type of things. That was where my mind was at for a very long time. But as people also know, around 2020, 2021, I had moved to Los Angeles, graduated high school, and I moved to Los Angeles. And that was a vision that was in the works for a long time. And my purpose of going over there is to obviously take things to the next level. A lot of people go out to LA, they go out to Nashville, they go out to New York to take their craft to the next level. And that was just where my mind was. I still didn't know exactly how I wanted to use that influence. And I believe it was all in God's time, and things didn't quite work out the way I wanted it to. And it forced me to take a little bit of a step back. And this was even before I had come to God or come to Christ at all. I took a step back and I just wasn't releasing music. I was just so focused on surviving, making it to the next day. I lived in Texas shortly after Los Angeles. So it was really just trying to make it through. And the focus shifted from what I truly love and what I'm passionate for to just surviving, right? And to fast forward to maybe a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, still removed from the music to an extent, I had a complete shift in perspective. This is answering the question that you just asked now. My shift in perspective was that I wasn't using my platform in the right way. When I look at the things that I was saying about music, even if it wasn't heavily rooted in debauchery, it still just was misusing the platform. And it was still me glorifying things that should not necessarily have been glorified. So the real shift that I had, that I 100% believe is God's spirit that touched me, is that I got to disenfranchise myself from even the local scene. A lot of these local artists that I came up with, it's just straight debauchery. Like, it's just glorification of all these things that are not uplifting their fellow person, that are not. What about the kids that are listening to this?
A lot of it is temporary pleasures that won't help like later on in life too.
At all. You see it all the time. Things that people say in the music, what they post on their stories or their pages. It's me, myself. And I have to realize that's not the way that I want to go about doing things. Now we're here. We have this mindset now where we want to use our platforms to shine light in dark places. Now that's really my only goal. And this is a season where God gave me my spark back, my music, and I'm back. New man, new mindset.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it was amazing. You're great at your promotional pieces too. You know, new man, new mindset, and it's the perfect way to do it. You're one of those people that I know when to say something, it's actual from the source. That's something that will say something, but it's not actually true. One of the things that we were talking about in Braintree was how you can read the energy. Not only is the energy contagious, but you can tell when someone's being genuine or not. You know what I mean? Were there ever any instances when you were at these places outside of Mass where you can tell, like, this person isn't the right environment for me? You know what I mean?
100%. So I think people know by and large that LA is inundated with a lot of temporary and superficial friendships and transactional relationships. I've definitely found that to be the case.
A lot of selfish people.
A lot of selfish people. And realistically, there's billions of humans on this earth. And there's millions and millions and millions of people who want to be heard. They want to be seen. They want to make it. But if everyone's focused on themselves, like, when are we ever focused on each other? When are we ever focused on a fellow person? Everybody wants the spotlight on them. They don't give that same you at the same time of day to other people. So in LA, that was something that I came across a lot. You know, I would perform the speaker and the microphone on Hollywood Boulevard. I would go early in the morning and I would just be out there hustling all day, and I would make good money. There would be a lot of connects that came by, but it's crazy because people just wanted to see, oh, this kid from that, he's got this personality. How can I get a piece of the pot? Right? I remember one time.
Was it like negative networking, like they tried?
Negative networking, that's a good way to put it. And I think that all networking can have its benefits, but you can tell the air behind it, like you said, that these people are not necessarily the right environment. They're not really trying to elevate me to the next level or uplift the message that I'm trying to uplift. It's more so, what role does he play in my picture, right? As opposed to viewing what I was doing and the music I was making and platform I was standing on, respecting it in its own light, trying to uplift it in its own light, being very transactional. And I'll say that I had a lot of amazing experiences in LA. I got into a lot of crazy circles with, you know, being in rooms that I never thought I'd be in, with famous rappers and all this type of stuff. And that was interesting and unique and special. But there was just something in my soul the whole time that knew this is not quite where I need to be at if I'm trying to bring this message to the next level. This was even before I found God. He was already speaking and whispering in my ear. His bit loading is in the chat. So I was like, you know, Doc, this is not this is not necessarily your, this is not your area. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I definitely came to find that. I really walked away from LA with maybe one or two real friendships. Everything else, I don't hear from folks anymore. There's transactional, just more than ten, but not that it's exclusive and it will close you.
Very telling that, like, certain periods of life when you don't hear back from the person, it like really opens up the closure where it's like, you know what, this person's not really there for me, you know, not there for me when I really need it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
How was the, what was the feeling when you were coming back from that? You feel like, was the enemy trying to come be like, oh, I don't know about this, I don't know about that? Like, what was the mindset, the mentality that you were thinking on your way back? You were like, were you all 100% like, I'm making the right decision? Or was it like spiritual warfare of like, oh, I don't know if it's the right thing?
I think retrospectively, there was a lot of spiritual warfare at play at that time, because I was struggling towards the end of my tenure in LA. And then me and my girlfriend had moved to Dallas, Texas, to kind of get some reprieve, because we had been there a few times before. We knew that gas was cheaper, cost of living was a little bit cheaper, but we really just traded one struggle for another struggle, and every day ended up just being survival, right? And people who, I don't even open up that much. I've told people the story, but I haven't opened up to the people that are closest to me, honestly, or even the people who are just kind of here for a moment. They don't know how deep the struggle was, and it is just keeping my head above water. And I think in that space, the enemy was definitely trying to just get me to the sunk cost balance. And like, you already put all this time and effort into it. You can't leave now. But I knew in reality that God was going to lead me exactly where I needed to go. And ultimately, that was you coming back to Massachusetts. And I had my apprehensions, and my girlfriend had the apprehensions. But coming back to be, you look at everything in a new light. I didn't appreciate Massachusetts like I did. I didn't appreciate the family friendships that I have like I do now. I didn't appreciate even the influence I have over my local area, because the reality is that the people who do rock with me, I got some good fans, man. I got some people who really rock. I got some people who really are down for the cause, and some people who haven't left. All they've been with me for 14 years, 13 years since I was in fourth grade, and they're still wanting to see me succeed. So I think the lack of appreciation was a tactic that the enemy was going to help. Figure my feelings into a situation where I'm just barely staying afloat. So coming back to Matthew is really a homecoming moment, and it just helped me look at things with fresh eyes. The scales kind of fell off my eyes, so to speak. And I'm very happy to be here right now. I'm very blessed for people that connect with you and that thing. Indeed. And everybody else plays a role in that day.
Thank you. Thank you. Because we were talking about your legendary girlfriend. What a small world how I know both of you.
Yeah.
And it's so cool, the trajectory that it happened, where I ran into her at the CVS.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it was just a blueprint. Because we've been texting back and forth, me and you, about the meetup happened. And, and then this is one of the main events to come. Like, we have the podcast, and there's many more content to come.
Absolutely.
How did you love the human being to me?
I don't mind at all. You know, it's crazy because we honestly have grown up together. And not everybody can, there's a lot of people who can say that, but not everyone can say that. And I had met her, I was just graduating my senior year. She had just graduated from Brockton. And I was finishing up my senior year. I was all over the place. My priorities were not in check. I had no intention, no plans, no vision to even necessarily get into a relationship. But I had reached out to her, I think it was on Snapchat, and we just almost instantly just hit it off, and just the conversation flowed. I went to her graduation party, and pretty much after that moment, throughout that whole summer, we just kept seeing each other almost every single day. And the bond just grew in a very organic and very unique way. And that's just us meeting. We've literally been through hell and high water together. Like, I literally cannot do justice in saying things that we've been through together. There are married couples who have been together for 25 years that have not seen the depths and the darkness that we've seen, and we've made it through it all. So I do think that the Lord has 100% had his hand over that on its own as a testimony and a testament to loyalty, and a testament to seeing things through our age. Like I said, friendships and relationships oftentimes end up very transactional, very temporary. This doesn't work out, you throw in the towel, right? We're not seeing it through the darkest hours. We saw through those darkest hours, and really all started just from a little social media, you know? And she's obviously a Blackfoot native, and a Holbrook native, right next to each other, the town. So I guess God just had that in his plans.
That's right. And that's what's so polarizing about social media. Because me and you, like we were talking about when I saw you arrive, about the support system that you have.
Mm-hmm.
We have a huge support system because the love we give out to that said system.
Yes.
And that's where I think social media is very polarizing, where it's like, it has its highs, but it has its lows. You mentioning it reminded me of this topic of like, how do you feel about it? Because I've noticed you've been making more of a presence on social media. Like,
yes.
What are your overall thoughts on social media itself? What your craft, your work at?
I think that's a great question, and it's something that I'm happy that you brought up, because it's something that I'm passionate about. And I want to preface this, is that I think I posted something yesterday on my story about this in preparation, getting into the mindset of coming here. I don't want to please and get approval or acceptance from people anymore. Like, that's really not my role. If somebody watches this, listens to this, they follow me when they see what I post, and pisses them off or rubs them the wrong way, I am more than okay with that. I can sleep well knowing that I'm walking with the Lord. Like, this is my intention. And I think I said kind of tongue-in-cheek, like, when I start talking, people are going to want me to shut up, because darkness hates the light, and light cannot exist with darkness, right? So to answer your question specifically, I think, yes, social media is polarizing. It's multifaceted, and that it can be used very easily for interconnectivity and to promote the message the right way. But the opposite side of that, I've used this example to many other people before. Let's say me and you go on our own respective vacations to Paris, France. We both visit the Eiffel Tower, as an example. It's a tourist attraction millions of people go to every year, right? It's not like, you know, if you go, it's, oh, wow, he just went, no one else is going. Here's probably thousands of other people posting that same day, the same thing. But social media puts us into this mindset that we want everybody, we want the spotlight to be on us. The slice of our life in that moment is the most important thing for us. And we expect people to an extent to be like, oh, wow, Thomas went to the Eiffel Tower and he posted about it. That's so amazing. Like, this is changing my whole day. A lot of people, that's not their mindset. Right. But everybody still posts these aspects of their life, which is fine, but with the intention that it's like, all eyes on me.
Yeah.
I think that in and of itself cheapens the use of social media a lot of times, because it's really not just about us. We're supposed to be sharing our mutual experiences and little snapshots of our life. And those snapshots, they're only like a microsecond. A picture is taken, and that picture captures only maybe a microsecond of time.
Exactly.
We don't know what happens before the picture. We don't know what happens after the picture. So we have this hodgepodge of different factors at play. People giving the best, most exciting parts of their life, expecting people to be excited and be engaged in it. But in reality, we don't know what's going on outside of that. We're seeing the best parts. And it's literally not even a second. A picture is not even a second. It's literally just a microsecond of time. You're capturing that small little moment, right? So people can very easily make themselves appear to be whoever they want. They can have the best character that they want to display. They can have the most exciting life in the world that they want to display. And in that, it discounts a lot of other people. And that it's like, okay, now we see what you're doing, but how are you using this to do what social media is intended to, the interconnectivity, checking in on your fellow man, uplifting your fellow man, right? So I think that, if that makes sense, that in and of itself is something that bothers me deeply about social media. You could go right now on any of your platforms and go through the stories. Everybody's posting something that is important to them in that moment. It's the spotlight on them. So I took a big step out from social media because I realized, unless I'm using my platform to accomplish something, I don't really want to just be on here frivolously posting this and that, because I know that people really don't care that much. Even if I take an amazing trip, even if I went to North Korea and took this crazy special trip, people might see for a second, it really don't care.
You just had
that
to
much.
answer like this.
It's like this, and it's not changing anything about their life. I want to use social media to impact people, to touch them in a certain way, to enlighten them in a certain way, to bring knowledge to that space. And I think you can either use it frivolously and just post a bunch of stuff that realistically people are not really that engaged with, even if they, oh, this is amazing, great picture, you look so great, whatever the case is, it's very fleeting. I think you should be using our platforms, if you're called to do this, like we are called to do this, to enlighten people, uplift the conversation, change the conversation, open minds, right? Shine light on darkness. And there's a lot of darkness on social media. And I think that's a good way for me to put it. I could go super, super deep on that, but I hope that isn't too abstract.
It's perfectly said, because that's what's interesting. It's like a lot of the darkness that was not seen years ago before social media, people are now seeing more easily than ever.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I love the fact that you mentioned about, you know, impacting people positively on the stories and stuff. Do you ever have, wait, actually, before I get to that, I heard a quotation from someone that I know where it's like, people are more interested on the fact of themselves, not like in a selfish way, but like people aren't focusing on us more than we think it is. Like maybe people's anxieties will think, oh, is this person watching me do this, when they're not as focused on us as we think they are.
Not even nearly.
Exactly.
Yes.
And it's like the part where you mentioned about impacting people. You ever have like silent supporters, in a sense of they might not swipe up and say a heart react, but like you'll run into them and be like, and they'll be like, I really thought your stuff touched my soul. And I must say, you and your girl are some of the people that I didn't know at first it touched you guys' soul. But I would run into her at the store and she's like, your stories make my day. You know what I mean? It's like people who they don't always have to react, but they'll watch and be like, wow, that stuff. He's really like doing what he's setting out to do. Do you ever have any people that like, they might not always be, but like if you run into them, they'd be like, your stuff is really making a positive shift. Have you ever had those kind of people?
I would say so, yes. And while half of me, out of maybe just my human nature, would wish sometimes that those silent supporters, like we could go so much further if we were like actively engaging with each other. But I will say, anytime I run into people that know what I do, they know my music, they know my platform, I do get a lot of love in person. I will say that. And whether or not it's genuine or not, it's not for me to say, but I do genuinely get people, like you said, who do show a lot of love. Because the reality is this, is that when you let your light shine, when you're that lamp on the hill and you're not covering that lamp, like it says in the word, people can't help but notice it, right?
The sun's getting brighter, and what a coincidence.
It's perfect timing, man. When you know a tree by its fruit, right? When people see good fruit, as much as they maybe this guy's posting this again, about all this positive stuff, about all this God stuff again, swipe left in person, like, what can you really say, right? Because you see the light, you see the fruit, you see the positivity. And I feel like it'd be hard to find a negative angle. So yes, there are people, both genuine and questionably genuine, that definitely, they show that piece of themselves in person. And I do have a lot of love for anybody who supports the vision, anybody when I do run into them, the love that they show, because it's, I really don't come into contact with a lot of friction in person. It's usually a lot of love. So I would say so. And those silent supporters, they make a big difference. You know, you got to have that. Not everybody's going to be rallying you from the top of the hill. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just those people who, when they see you or when they're in contact with you, bro, you're doing the right thing. You're on the right path. I see you. You feel what I'm saying?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, that's what's interesting. You never know who you could touch.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's just like, it's like a full circle sort of belief, and you see it and it's like, you just have this feeling. You know what I mean? It's kind of like Christmas back in the day when, you know, you love getting the presents.
Mm.
But now it feels better as you get older to give more, You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And that's what's beautiful. It's like, you know, walking with the Lord. You mentioned about the glow, but it's also the clarity in the mind as well.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I was talking to my friend recently about, literally at the BSU graduation a couple of days ago, I was sitting with him. He was talking about, I'm not a fan of people who wear the cross just to wear the cross. You know what I mean? They wear it for maybe like a fashion statement or something. We were talking about contentment, such as Brian Colton on the line of that too.
Mm-hmm.
You can wear it, but if you're not actually going through with it, being lukewarm or even just overall fake when it comes to being like, what are your instances where you run into people that aren't really on the team that we're on? You know, is it easy to read sometimes, or like, how would you say?
I think that obviously Jesus was the greatest man who ever lived. He was the greatest teacher that ever lived. Any peak that you could attach to a personage, Jesus encapsulated that, and he made it very simple, right? Like I just said a moment ago, you know a tree by its fruit. It's really that simple. When you go outside and you look at an orange tree, you know it's an orange tree because this orange is growing off of it. You know it's an apple tree because you see apples growing off of it, right? You know it's a pear tree because you see pears growing off of it. You use that example for a reason. It's because in the same way, it's completely parallel to personalities and people. When you look at somebody and the fruits of their life, what are they talking about? What do they stand for? What do they post? What jokes do they make? If they're making music, what kind of things are they talking about in their music? That's their fruit. And you know what type of tree it is by looking at that fruit. So when you see somebody who, like you said, they wear the cross in vain, I think that it's not only an issue because it's misrepresentation, but it also harms the body of Christ as a whole because people are thinking, wow, that's what Christians do. Christians are making music about killing people and, you know, popping Percocet and drinking lean and smoking this and drinking this and hitting this shorty and this and that, but they're wearing a big cross. Or you see people going around, like you said, and they're wearing that cross as a fashion statement, but there's filth coming out of their mouths. People don't think that words are like that important. Oh, they're just curse words. It's just this and it's just that. It says that the word to not speak curses, to speak blessings, right? So when we see people going about doing that, misusing their words, the power is in the tongue, right? If people are misusing their voice, the tongue, it also says in the word that the tongue is hard to tame. So it's not necessarily an easy thing to perfectly bridle your tongue, right? But it says that if you can bridle your tongue, you have control over your whole body. So realistically, when people are misusing their speech, their platform, their music, everything, it really speaks for itself, and it does hurt me. It's not a judgment thing, because I'm not sitting here being like, this person's a fake Christian, and this person's a real Christian. It's like, brother, sister, like, if you walk with the Lord, if you represent the Lord properly, you have no idea how many people that's going to touch. And when you don't do it properly, how many people that impacts. And it leaves people thinking, oh, yeah, Christians, they're all lukewarm like that.
Or, it's a bad light.
It's a very bad light. So it hurts my soul to see that, but I can't judge, because I myself, just a few years ago, I was deep in all of that type of stuff. My mouth was filthy, right? The music that I made was glorifying all type of stuff, this and that. I didn't wince at the idea of drugs or psychedelics or smoking this or drinking that. Like, it was all cool and fun and all that. Even the glorification of myself, glorification of money and greed and all this stuff, I was right up in that alley. So I understand that people have to go through a sanctification process and it's not overnight, but I just really want to raise the conversation and elevate the consciousness for people to understand that there's power in the words. And there's also power in how you represent yourself. People need to be weary of that and keep that in mind, very much so. And I just hope that anybody who wears that cross is able to, you know, really surrender to that cross at some point and understand I'm representing the Lord. This is not just representing myself. Pointing up to a big God.
That's right. Yeah, it reminds me of when, do you remember the Will Smith slap?
Yes.
So I remember his acceptance speech later on after he mentioned how Denzel whispered in his ear, and it's like, the devil will come at you at your highest moment. Mm-hmm. Like when you're at your highest valley, that's where they'll see the light at the end of the tunnel. Be like, no, I can't let that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Which is obviously infuriating. But like it kind of goes hand in hand with my next phrase that I was thinking of, about how I tell people about the devil will look at someone who's on the same team that, the team that we're on, and obviously trying to grasp us out of that team. He's not fighting for the people who either completely don't see what we see or just completely go against what we see, because there's nothing for him to fight for. He already knows he has them by the grasp.
Yes.
You know, so it's like a tug of war. You know what I mean? And that's what's interesting. There's certain times of the year where you can notice it more often, where like maybe it's like the winter time. Things are gloomy and stuff. And people would be like, oh God, why did this happen? Why did this happen? You don't realize the plan that he has for us. You may not notice it right away, but it's there. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And I'm still working on my journey. I was literally telling that same friend at BSU about talking to him through good moments too.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being like, hey, can you help me with this? That one. Right. I've gotten better at being like, I know that was you.
Absolutely.
Do you ever have times where you're not sure if it's from him or like what avenue it's from? Because sometimes it could be masqueraded and be like, it looks enticing.
Yeah.
Be like, this is not from the avenue that I'm looking
for. For sure. I mean, the devil masquerades as an angel of light, as it says in the word. So I do definitely think that this is where discernment comes in really key, is being able to discern what comes from the Lord and what doesn't come from the Lord. And I believe that God reveals his character very clearly through his word. And this is the key, is that a lot of people, maybe they open up the Bible app for their daily scripture, maybe post it on Instagram or whatever the case is. Or like you said, they'll throw up a prayer when things are looking rough. But to understand and know the heart of God, to understand and discern what's coming from him and what's not, we have to communicate with him in prayer. We have to read his word. It's not a judgment thing. We're like, you have to work to do this, this, and this. It's really about it. Do you really want to know what God has in store for you? Do you really want to know what's his voice and what's the voice of the enemy or voice of just some random person trying to derail you? It's by reading his word and by having communication with him. And I think, again, that's something that we all need to work on. And it's a process. It's a marathon. It's not a race. Over the past year, that's definitely something that has hit me very profoundly, is that the closer you draw to God by reading his word and by being in prayer and being in connection with him, you're able to discern those things. And there's been many times where, you know, it's like, wow, I'm going through this, this, or this. Is this a test from God? Like, is he proving me right now? Or is this just some spiritual warfare? Is this something trying to derail me? And I think that through the good times and the bad times, keep that communication. You read God's heart by reading his word. You're able to discern and wade through those times. Even when things get difficult, you're able to discern. So I've definitely had that happen, but it gets a lot clearer when you, you know, really try to draw close to him and understand him. What is his nature? What are his qualities? What are the things that he values and doesn't value? What does he approve and disapprove of? And then you're able to walk, oh, wait a second. I know that God would not do this. I know that God is not a liar. I know that God is not evil. I know that God is a provider. So I know that this is not from him. Or I know that God is, you know, he chastens us. He tries to reinforce us. He tries to sharpen us. So at times it's also like, oh, wait a second. I see what he's doing in this case. This is a quality that I need to work on. This is a part of my character that's really weak. And I see what he's doing and how he's sharpening me in that regard. So drawing close to him creates that discernment. And I do agree with what you said, but that's a very key thing to understand. I think a lot of people just go through life sometimes, you know, not really thinking that deep into it. You know, they might think it's all God, good and bad. They might think it's all the devil, good and bad, but discernment, that's the key.
Because that's what's interesting. One of the things, like I mentioned, that we talked about in our Braintree mini podcast was the art of fasting. And some people with no context would think, oh, I'm going to be hungry. Like, I'm not going to eat for a whole day. Like, that's not what God would want. But no, you become closer with him when you do the art of fasting.
100%.
What got you into doing fasting? Like, did you hear it from the Bible, or did you hear from someone that you know who's also a Christian? Or, like, you know, like, what was the thing that, you know, made you notice about doing it?
See, I grew up in a Jehovah's Witness household, interestingly enough, which is, for people who know, it's very different. It's very out there, and there's a lot of man-made things that are attached to that belief system. And it's neither here nor there. That's a bigger conversation. But I never grew up. Nobody ever talked about fasting. Nobody ever encouraged the practice of fasting growing up. And typically, when you hear about fasting in today's age, it usually is not in a Christian context. It is if you're in Christian circles, but by and large, when you hear about fasting at large, it's usually something like Ramadan or something about Islam, right? But what the Bible explains is that it's two things. One, that when you fast, it shouldn't be something that you're like announcing to the world. And that it's like, I think it the way that it describes it, it's don't have your face disfigured and like in this way where it's like, oh, like I'm God, like I'm so hungry, I'm struggling through this and this. It should be something that's a practice between you and the Lord. And the purpose of it is that when you're cutting out those distractions, right? When you're cutting out the most fundamental human need, something like eating, right? It kind of clears that air a little bit, and it's the focus is strictly on your spirit. It's strictly on God. And you're not, because when you eat food, especially if you eat a heavy meal, it's hard to think as straight. It's hard to think as clearly. And when you're hungry, a lot of times, one of the first things you're thinking of is, I want to eat, I want to eat, I want to eat. But when you can put that to the side and the full focus goes on God, there is no distractions. So that isn't something that I didn't grow up with it. And I always saw it culturally in a different context. But within the last year, I've started to give it a try at different times. And it also says in the word that there are certain things and certain spiritual strongholds that can only be broken through prayer and fasting, that there are demonic influences that can only be upheld or upended through prayer and fasting. And I think that people don't realize fasting is not just not eating. There is a spiritual thing that's happening internally when you are doing it. There is a spiritual connection that is being strengthened, a cord that is being empowered. And it's almost sometimes inexplicable because you can't necessarily fully rationalize that. Why, when I'm not eating, does this prayer have more movement than when I'm not? It's when that focus goes on God, it says something to them. It says something to your spirit. That focus shifts. The Holy Spirit moves in a different facet in that regard. And I've seen it work in real time. It's not for, we can't do it just because, or we can't do it just because it looks like it's good, or people are going to think that we're more pious or more holy or more religious because we do it. It's a matter of, do you want to grow closer to God? Do you want to cut out those distractions and really hear His voice? Take away anything for a little bit that's going to get in between you hearing His voice, right? Physical, fleshly pleasures and all that. So I've seen it move greatly, and it wasn't only until this year that I even realized the power in fasting. And I think that that's a secret weapon that even a lot of Christians sometimes don't lean into. There's a lot of power behind fasting and cutting off those distractions. God can speak to us a lot more clearly.
That's right. I remember when I started the journey of fasting, which literally I'm doing right now, actually. I've only had, I think, one Clif Bar and nothing else. Just so I wanted to be super clear for the pod. I remember telling someone recently about me doing fasting, like, oh, I had such and such for this long amount of period. Like, oh, wouldn't it be the opposite when you have less energy? Because I told them I had more energy. And that's just one of the many benefits, that comes with it. You can just notice yourself just moving differently. You know what I mean?
100%.
And it's like people don't realize that just do the fluids. You only need the fluids for a certain amount of time. You don't need as much food,
You can go a long time without food. It's pretty remarkable. There's people who do 30-day fasts.
Yes. It's beautiful stuff. And you can just notice not only mentally, but like with the skin too. It's just like just an overall recharge of what needs to be done.
100%. One thing I want to add to that, even is that, which is also why I believe that this is something that God obviously intended. It says it in His word, right? We're expected to fast. But there's something, like you said, health-wise, after a certain amount of days, after the third day of being in a fast, your body starts to go through autophagy, where it starts to eat up the dead or old cells. It like recycles itself. And you go into 7-day fasting, science has proven that stem cells can start to generate, and they can't be generated under other circumstances. So there's literally a physical component that corroborates with the spiritual component. So it's not like, oh yeah, like the Bible just prescribes us to fast for no reason and just to do this, this. When you go without food, like no food, not fasting for, you know, a portion of time and then, you know, really gorging yourself, whatever the case may be. When you really lock in and fast, there's a health component, spiritual stuff aside, even though that's always going to be in the picture. Your body literally acts in a way that it doesn't under any other circumstances. Your body heals itself. Diseases can change their course through fasting. You can get really deep into it, but I think that the physicality and the human biological element speaks to the truth of that this is something that God wants us to do. And that if that brings spiritual clarity in the midst of that as well, it's like, this is 100% something that we need to do. Like this, there's power in fasting beyond just even the spiritual, in the physical too. It's pretty amazing.
Yes, sir. It brings so many different life factors to a higher level, obviously positively, which reminds me, this is a question that I ask all of my guests.
Yeah.
Now you are another addition to it. Doctor, what makes life so beautiful? Now it's loaded, I know.
In the light of everything you've been talking about, that's a heavy one. I think the thing that makes life beautiful is there's just nothing. It's completely inexplicable. There's nothing like it. We can't even articulate like that we're experiencing reality right now. You know what I'm saying? There's something so profound, so off the charts deep about just the fact that we're existing right now. The fact that we have brains to think and that we can communicate with each other right now is just absolutely crazy. And that's more deep, but love, realistically, the capacity that we have to love each other, to love our children, to love our pets, to love nature, whatever the case may be. Love is just one of those inexplicable qualities. It's not just a brain chemical reaction. It's not just a scientific explanation on paper. There's something so profound, the fact that we can connect with our fellow people in this reality. Like we literally have a tangible reality. We're sentient beings. We can think and act and experience things. I don't care who you are or what you say. There's just no rational explanation for the fact that we're able to do that. And obviously, we know that it's the Lord, but he gives us that capacity to love, to appreciate this life, to be able to see things and feel things and taste things. The human experience in and of itself is the most beautiful thing. Just the fact that we are able to be here. I know that might be a cheap answer, but that's really...
It's one of the best ones I've got, in all honesty.
I appreciate you saying that. It's absolutely incredible. This reality is inexplicable, and we could never recreate it. Nobody is able to recreate sentience or able to create a reality like this. It's just here. We're just here. We can think and we can perceive this stuff because God allowed us to. We can love because he allowed us to. It's incredible, man. Every day is just remarkable. It's like a movie, man. Life is like a movie, for real.
It's funny you say that, because the podcast I recorded yesterday with my friend mentioned about how life, it's like a resume of your life type of thing. Like your life is a resume. It's a video game. It's all different things, and all how you see it. You know what I mean? Like your perspective shifts things.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Especially when you have the perspective with the Lord, it's a lethal combination.
Lethal.
That cannot be replicated.
No.
You know? It's an undefeated combination. You know what I mean? Because it speaks volumes. It speaks volumes. And it's one thing to maybe for a season be on the team that we're on. But if it's consistent, then it's like, wow, it opens up doors that you never thought would be opened.
100%.
Because the amount of people, we were talking about social media, the amount of people that just talk over social media. And that's how we were at first, because we were like, you know, obviously we're in a different state,
right?
You know, like we would check in with each other. And the fact that it's just happening right now is absolutely legendary on so many levels. Like when we were coming up the stairs earlier, and we were like, one of the phrases that we've been saying is, we're going to break.
Yes, sir.
Like, that's what's beautiful. And it just shows we're doing something right where we connect with someone.
100%.
And it's like a full circle sort of belief where you touch their lives and then it just spreads like a great, great contagiousness. Touch their life, they learn from us, and then they help other people as well.
And that impacts us.
That's right. It's amazing. It's really amazing. This is, and how set on our beliefs we are and how creative we are. Because we're the type where it's like we have a mindset in mind where we think of something, or like, okay, this is beautiful, but let's also get even better in a positive format.
Okay.
What are future plans for Doctrine?
So this is really a special season for me right now. I don't want to lead too much onto it, but I'm working on a very big project, a non-music related project that I don't think anybody in my locale has done to this capacity, with one of my very close brothers. We're working together on something that's going to be very special, and it's really going to shake things up a lot. And again, I really, just for the sake of everything,
don't worry, you don't have to go into it.
I won't go into it, but it's not music related. It has a musical element to an extent, but it's very, very, very profound. And I really don't think that anybody else from where I came from has gone about doing it in this way. And, you know, all thanks to my, if it's worth it, and like my close brother. That. Besides that, I'm gearing up to release a lot of music next month.
Ooh.
June is going to be the time that I'm really going to be able to lean back into things. But all that aside, regardless of the projects that I'm working on, the vision is I want to continue to work on my character. I want to continue to humble myself further. And I want to use my platform to bring people to the light. And for me, like I said, I grew up in a Jehovah's Witness household where they'll go door to door. And the intention is not even necessarily to bring you to Christ. The intention is for them, for you to join their organization, for you to join their religion. So I'm the last person whose intention is, oh, I just want people to come to my church and do what I'm doing and follow my leaders and this and that. We have one God in heaven. We have one Lord and there's one Spirit. I want to lead people to that. And it's not an intention of you need to come to this field and you need to read this literature, you need to use this website.
All that matters is your relationship.
The relationship with God, being able to just reap the benefits from His Word. It's right there for you. It's a free gift. He gave you a free gift.
Famous God.
But it's a free gift that He gave us. Not just the fact that we have the ability to have salvation if we want to get that deep, but the fact that if we believe in Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit is given to us, and it completely changes us. It changes the internals. It changes the externals. It changes our view, our heart, our mind, our disposition. I want people to see just how powerful God is. And God is not, it's not like you have to access Him through this website. You have to access God through this. It's very clear is that Jesus is the mediator between God and man. There's millions of people, and it's not a coincidence at all. There's no coincidence that millions of people have the same testimony, that when it says in the Word, that when you believe on Christ and you confess that He's Lord with your mouth, that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you and it changes you, and that millions of people have that experience. It's not a mass psychosis event. It's not a bunch of people getting together. These are people across the world in different places that never have talked to each other, who are reading the same text, and they're having the same spiritual, cerebral experience where their heart is changed, their mind is changed, their desires are changed, their voice, what they say and what they do is changed. There is so much power in the name of Jesus. And people wince at that thought, but it's not about trying to get to join a church or trying to do this or that. It's about a relationship with God, you and God. And it's open to anybody. Anybody can access that. Anybody can change their life. Anybody can have the power of the Holy Spirit transform their mind and their heart in ways that they could never imagine. Break addictions that they never thought they could. Get out of situations they never thought they could. Fix anger and character issues and mental things that they never thought they could. Breaking free from chains. I want to see that for all my people. So whether it's the big project that I'm working on, or whether it's music that I'm going to be releasing, or other things that I have in store with my nonprofit organization, I want to uplift people. I want to help people. I want to change minds. I want to change hearts. And the number one change is not done by me. It's done by the Lord. I'm only a mouthpiece. I'm only a vessel to deliver the message. If people take it themselves and they take it in their heart, their lives will be changed. They will see their lives change in inexplicable ways. So that's what I want to do next, is use my platform, music, all creative endeavors that I have, you know, nonprofit, helping people, helping the homeless, helping the single mothers, helping the children, whatever the case may be. And by just letting my light shine, and with the ultimate goal, helping them see that, like, the Lord is the one that's the source of that light. We're just, you know, we may just be light bulbs in the mix of things, but there is a sun, literally, right? That is the source of all light, that is the source of all goodness, that is the source of all power. And that through that, there's nothing that can't be accomplished in his will. There's nothing that can't change. So I want people to see that. And I'm going to be bold about it. It says in Proverbs, you know, the wicked flee when no one is even chasing them, but the righteous are bold as a lion. And I want to move in righteousness, and I want to move in boldness and not be afraid to share that message. I know how the Lord has touched my life. I'm a completely different person than I was a few years ago. I've had addictions break. I've had anger. I've had deep-seated emotional traumas broken, melted off, like someone put a blowtorch to silver and it just melted away. The Lord is so powerful. I've seen God heal so many things. I've seen God break so many chains, so many strongholds. And I just want other people to be able to have that same experience. And you don't need to do it through religious spirit. It is through a relationship with God. It is that simple. By surrendering and giving your heart to him, saying, Lord, I don't have the answers myself. I'm going to fully put it at your feet. I'm just going to give it a chance. I'm going to put my issues, and I'm going to put my problems and my traumas and my confusion, and just give it to you. If you're there, work me through this. And when that surrender is what he works with. He doesn't want your money. He doesn't want your resources. He wants your heart. And if you give him your heart, he will change your heart inside and out. So that's the mission, man. That's really the next step, is to shout that from the mountaintops, bro.
And that's what's beautiful, because most people, when someone would ask about their future plans, they talk about like things like what was it? Not maybe like an occupation or something. Like, what I love is that you were talking about improving your overall self.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, some people don't think of that. When people are asked about future plans, they talk about like I said, with finances or stuff, but you're talking about actually improving yourself more than you already have been.
That's
it. I mean, and that's what's beautiful. And it takes a lot of great guts to mention what you mentioned, because some people understandably are reserved about the adversities that they would go through. So I applaud you for that, my friend. I appreciate that. And that's what's cool about what you mentioned about the organization, about helping people, the less unfortunate. Sadly, there's some people out in the world that, like, they'll make a big deal out of it when it comes to, oh, I just donated this, I donated that. I didn't even know that you did that. So that's what's beautiful. People want the clout for it. But I just found out just now that you do that. So that's how beautiful it is, where it's like, you're not like those people that are like, oh, I help the unfortunate. They'll give me praise. You know what I mean?
For sure.
And that's what's amazing. And for everyone listening right now, the non-music project, I'm involved in it. It's beautiful, guys. It's beautiful. And when you guys find out what it is, it's another thing that's going to break the internet.
100%.
Big plans, my friend. Big plans.
Yes, sir.
And what made you thinking about the project? Like you said, you don't have to go into my...
Of course. No, for sure. I think that there's so many mediums of creative outlets and creative expression, and music is just one subset, right? Like, you can get a lot across in a song and in music, but at the same time, it only goes so far sometimes, right? There's so much more to say, there's so much more to express. And how long is the longest song you might hear? It's maybe like 6 or 7 minutes if you're listening to like a really long track of some sort, right? But there is so many other capacities, just conversational pieces, things that make people think, that require more time, that require different uses, that maybe it's not just the audio portion, maybe there's a visual portion to it. And through all of that type of stuff, I want to raise the conversation in different ways. And the thing is that people are engaged with music, obviously, but there's a lot of people who may not be engaged. There's people who may just not like my style of music, right? Not because they don't like me or they don't like what I talk about, just may not be their cup of tea. Maybe they're not big music listeners. So I want to find other ways and how I can use creative talent and use what God has given me to be able to put that light in different places, to be able to raise the conversation and reach people that I may not be able to reach with my music. So that's definitely what I can say about that. And just in and of itself, that nobody is pursuing. I feel like where I come from, people are not pursuing it to this capacity for the intention that I want to do it for. It's not just because I want to, you know, make the music. I want to do this. I want to create this and be a part of this because I want more clout or I want this or this. Like, no.
You want to be known for more than just.
For more than that. So more eyes are on me, not for myself, but so now, okay, I have an audience. Let me tell you about X, Y, and Z. Let me raise the consciousness. Let me shine wisdom and light into these places, right? Because influence is everything. Like I said at the very beginning, you can use your influence properly or you can misuse your influence. And I want to gain more influence to use it the right way. I don't care about approval from people. I don't want to look like the coolest guy. I don't want to look like the flyest guy. I don't want to be posted up with all the supermodels and flexing the big chains and I'm pulling up in the whip and I'm pulling up with the double cup. That's not what I'm trying to do. I want people to look at the art and respect the art and then be like, okay, who's the person behind the art? Like, what are they trying to say? What is their message? What is their platform, right?
Yeah.
I'll use one brief example real quick that I've given to so many people over the years is that if me or you went to go stand out in the middle of Faneuil Hall of Boston Common and we wanted to share a message of wisdom or just enlighten people in some facet and we just went out there and just started talking, people are probably not going to really pay much attention. They're going to be like, who's this crazy guy in one ear and out the other? It's random. But now imagine a favorite rapper or a big movie star or a big, you know, author or something came and said, okay, I'm going to be coming to this place. I'm just going to be having a conversation with people. I'm going to be sharing a message. There's going to be people flocking just to listen to the words that are coming off their lips.
And forget that we're all.
And it's all because of the influence that the person has. So gaining that influence, I believe, is pivotal to being able to have people hear the message and really hold to it. It sucks that it's like that and that people wouldn't listen to someone they view as like not as important as a movie star or not as important as a famous rap artist. But sometimes you need to step into that realm and get the influence first, get people on your side first, and then be like, okay, you guys respect the art, you guys respect what I stand for. Let me go a little bit deeper. Like, there's a human behind this music. This human has certain thoughts and certain wisdom and certain knowledge. And now that I have you as an audience, I'm able to share that with you and you'll actually listen to me as opposed to, who's this crazy guy, this random person? I don't know, but he's a nobody. But you have Drake or, you know what I'm saying, Lil Wayne or whatever coming to these spaces. They're going to be recording every angle and everything he said is going to be a tabloid headline for the rest of the week.
And you could be saying the same thing as them, but they wouldn't, you know what I mean?
Exactly. So getting that influence and then using it to say the right things, it's going to be very powerful. So that's the vision. And that's this. I believe that this project is going to be something that is going to make room for that 100%.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be a gift that keeps on giving in a sense of just when people who are listening, they think they know what it is. Trust me, you guys don't, you know, it's going to be big time.
100%.
You know, and it's absolutely beautiful seeing this happen. You know what I mean? And I appreciate you and all of the content that you put out. Because, you know, you never know, like you said earlier, you never know who it might touch.
Of course.
You never know. And wow, it's absolutely beautiful how we're making this happen. And I couldn't thank you enough. I got to tell you something right here. I got to tell you something. Because talk about our beloved Lord. I have a thing that I have on my lock screen. Before I say it, do you write down your intentions? Like, how are you when it comes to like writing down, like maybe like journaling type thing? Do you ever do that?
I do have a journal. This is a recent development. I try to journal as much as I can, and I try to make it like a stream of consciousness of like, doesn't have to be hard and fast, but it's just like thoughts on a page.
It's funny you say that. So I have, I wrote this in January. It's been on my lock screen since January. Basically, I've got my intentions for the year.
Mm.
And, the end of it is probably the best part. So January 21st. It's like the attendance that I have for today. I will start the journey of eating and drinking very well, losing weight, gaining muscle, making good grades, getting mental clarity, all great environments, going up with the podcast like we're doing right now. I will get even closer to Dog. I will have great connection with family and friends. I will do my best to not have any negative environments around me. My goal is to achieve greatness in all forms in 2025 in an optimistic light and beyond starting on this day. I treat my body like a temple and only consume great positive forms of content. I will maximize the positivity slash winning in life. I will try my best to improve massively, physically, mentally, and spiritually. I will achieve all this on this paper to the best of my ability. I will do everything I can to achieve it. And I put the end, thank you God for this life. So January 21st of this year, I don't think I've said it in a big light, but I felt this was the perfect time to mention it.
That's profound.
You know? And
very profound.
And we're making it happen. You know what I mean?
In real time.
I'm proud of us. You know, I'm proud of us. This is a long time coming, and much more greatness to come with the two of us. You know what I mean? Some future collabs. You know what I mean?
I love that.
And I can't thank you enough for doing this. Is there anything that you would like to tell me or any of the viewers, my friend?
For sure. I mean, one thing that was definitely on my mind that I wanted to end off on, whatever the case may be. I want, you know, the people who are watching this as well. This is the first time in like 3 years that I've spoken out in any type of facet, right? It's kind of been silent behind closed doors. I want to be abundantly clear that the only goal, like I said, is to shine light in dark places. And there's a lot of darkness in the music. There's a lot of darkness, even in our own backyard, in our own locale. My goal is I'm trying to tear down selfishness. I'm trying to tear down debauchery. I'm trying to tear down the glorification of sin. I'm trying to uplift and trying to change the conversation for people to be able to consider their fellow man. Instead of posting about yourself, only instead of only posting about money or posting all these things that are glorifying self, I'm here to break strongholds and change mindsets for people to be able to think about who needs help, who needs to be uplifted, who are the most vulnerable people. How are we influencing the kids? How are we interacting with the homeless people? How are we interacting with the people who are suffering and struggling in silence? I'm sick and I'm done with just seeing the same rat race and the same cycle of people promoting this dumb, you know, debauchery and glorifying sin. So I'm making it 100% my mission. From this moment, it's clear as day. You know, like I said, I haven't spoken out in this capacity in a long time. I'm making it clear as day right now that this is a battle that darkness will not win. This is a battle that sin will not win. There is nobody in this local scene that is going to fight harder to tear down these strongholds and to shine the light and expose evil deeds of darkness. If you are glorifying sin, if you are promoting debauchery, if you are not uplifting the kids and you are feeding the kids poison and you're speaking filth out your mouth, the light is going to be shined on it. And I'm going to make sure that in everything I do and everything that I say, I'm going to use my platform to help the people that need it the most and shine the light and expose the people who are working directly against it. So you guys are bearing witness right now, live, whatever the case may be, that this is the mission. And I will die on this hill. I will literally die on this hill that I'm using my influence from this moment forward to change the conversation. If you are promoting this type of stuff, you're glorifying sin, if you're glorifying debauchery and evil and spitting poison and filling the ears of kids with poison, it will be torn down 100%. And whether that be by something that I do or by just the conversation shifting and people realizing their own minds, wait a second, this stuff is not it. The conversation will be changed. Strongholds will be broken down. Blockades will be torn down. hearts will be changed. Hearts of stone will be made into hearts of flesh. And the Lord Jesus is going to speak through myself, and he's going to speak through the music, and he's going to speak through the content. And we're touching this community. We're touching Massachusetts. We're touching Norfolk County. We're touching Whitman. We're touching Bridgewater, Holbrook, Brockton, anywhere in this area. God's Spirit is going to touch it. And there's nothing that anybody can do to stop that. And I'm going to be a fully open vessel for God to use this. Anybody who's watching this, I really want y'all to understand that right now. It's about to be up and it's fully stuck. I'm telling you.
That's right.
I'm bringing light and love in full, period.
That's right. And hopefully that this episode is a great awakening for people, where I think they're going to hear the words that we said. They're going to hear the message that we are trying to give to people. And we're going to tell them that we're giving out positive content, content that will help you.
Nothing but.
Exactly. For past, present, and future.
Yes.
It will help things that you were thinking about in the past. It will obviously help with present. And if you're consistent enough, future down the line too. And who wouldn't want that? And it goes around helping loved ones too. So hopefully the words that me and you have said today are awakening. And I feel like me and you are great with articulating what we want to say. And what we're saying is honestly, truly the truth when it comes to greatness and physically and mental. And who wouldn't want that? You know,
100%. It's gonna happen, man.
When I,
in Jesus' name.
That's right. When I saw the promo of the first appearance in 3 years, I was thinking, wow, this is a blessing. Mm. And the fact that you could have been on any platform, but you were on the Peterson podium, I appreciate you the utmost for that. So thank you a million times over, my friend.
Yes, sir.
It's happened.
Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate you. I love you, man.
Love you too, my guy. Thank you very much. God bless you. God bless everyone that is listening. And I hope that, wait, before I do, is there anything else, my friend, that you would like to say?
Just stay tuned, everybody. Stay tuned this month. Stay tuned next month, because a lot of stuff is about to unfold. And I just want as many people of y'all to be a part of it. Follow me on Instagram if you don't already, at It's Doctrine. Snapchat, same thing. You can find my music on all platforms. DOCTRINE. You're going to love what's coming from top to bottom. So everybody stay tuned 100%. Happy to share this journey with all of y'all. And you as well, my brother.
Thank you, sir.
Yes,
sir. This is our year.
It is.
Thank you, everyone. Enjoy life. Bye.